You know, it's really amazing how much some people love money. Of all the things in life that one could love, money probably is at the top of the list for at least a lot of people. Think about the great lengths that some people go just to save a little money. I wonder, are you a penny pincher? Are you one that, you know, where you can, you like to save a dime or a dollar? I have to admit I am, and I bet some of you are also. I like the story of the penny-pinching man who decided to start taking longer steps when he walked in order to keep him from wearing out his $20 shoes. But in doing so, he ended up splitting his $40 pants. Pinching pennies and money doesn't always work out the way that we think. Today's gospel lesson is all about our relationship with money. Jesus, in their lesson, tells a parable, a story. As you know, many times when Jesus spoke, he would tell us a fictitious story in order to make a spiritual point. And today's story features a manager who was very crafty, very shrewd. He gets fired from his job because he didn't do a very good job of being a manager of his master's wealth and belongings. And after he finds a little angle in order to get some pay for play, as we've heard that statement so often in this political race, haven't we? Pay for play. Well, here we have a man in this story who found a way to get pay for play. Begins to call in his master's debtors and cheats his master out by reducing the amount of debt owed. And he does this so that after he's jobless, he might find favor with these debtors because he had done them a favor. He's hoping for a future favor in return. I think the point that Jesus is making here is that here we see the idea that in many cases, wealth is more important than honesty. For a lot of people, some people, when push comes to shove, will choose to cheat rather than be honest. Then Jesus goes on to teach that we have to make a choice in our life as it relates to money. He says you have to choose which you're going to serve, God or And I want to introduce you to the old King James word. Many of you who remember this story from growing up in the King James said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon. Do you remember that word? You all, maybe you wondered, who or what is mammon? That's the way the King James rendered it. Well, mammon was the old King James word that meant worldly wealth. That's what mammon is, worldly wealth. The NIV translators, we use the New International Version here at Old Gosh, and the translators of the NIV just translated the word to mean, say, money. You cannot serve both God and money. That's an all right translation. I think it's a little weak. I think it needs a little more beef in front and behind it to really capture the true meaning of mammon. Mammon is money greedily gained. It's not just money in itself. Mammon is the money that we earn through greed and selfishness and oftentimes even dishonesty or stealing. And I like to include some of that in our understanding, what Jesus is saying. You have to choose between God and money, especially money greedily gained. You can't serve both these things. It's either one or the other. Only one of them can be our boss. So how would we say it today? Maybe if we were rendering this today, we might say, what's more important to you, Almighty God or the Almighty Dollar? Which is the biggest thing for you? Which is at the top of the list? Which occupies your mind and your heart and your energy and your devotion more? Money, possessions, or the Lord? Which is it for you? Now, please don't mishear Jesus here. Jesus does never, in all of the Gospels, in all of the Bible, does Jesus condemn wealth. Don't misunderstand. Jesus does not condemn wealth. He nowhere calls all people to be poor for righteousness' sake. Christianity does not require you to take a vow of poverty. That's made up by other people. But that is not Jesus' teaching, and it is not the teaching of the Bible. Wealthy people can be Christians just like poor people. And many poor people are as far away from God as anyone else is. Money, how much money you have, has very little to do with Jesus' teachings and how we relate to it. Money and possessions, in fact, are good. They're good. God created them. God made them to use and to bless us in this life, to make our way in this life. They are good. But here's the key. They're good in their right place. They're good in their right place. That's the key. That's the Jesus distinctive. Wealth in its right place, which is not at the top, is okay. Wealth at the top of your list as the thing of your life is not okay. Not for a Christian. You can't have money and wealth at the top of your passion list if you're a Christian believer. That's the point Jesus is saying. So here's what's important, that we must understand the significance of money while never serving it as a competing god. That's the Jesus perspective on money. Know how important it is, how significant it is, but never serve it as a competing god. That's what Jesus is saying. So here are some thoughts on the relationship between money and the Christian. First, make sure that we use money and we don't worship money. Use money, but don't worship money. Own things without letting things own you. Don't mix that up in your life. Earn money. The scriptures commend us to work hard, to earn our own keep. Use money. Use it for what it's for. Invest money so that you can make more money if needed. Save money. Be careful. Be a good manager with what God has given to you. Do all of those things. But don't worship money. Don't make money your god, small g. That's the point. Don't make it something that it's not designed to be. That's where we will get mixed up. That's what Jesus is trying to straighten out in our heart and in our life. Someone asks the question, how much is Joe worth? Now, an unwise person who maybe has not been introduced to Jesus' way of thinking might answer it this way. Well, he has $200,000 in his 401k, and he has another $200,000 in assets. You know, he has a home and some savings. So Joe is worth $400,000. Or on the flip side, someone might say, how much is Sue worth? And someone might say, well, not much, actually. She hardly has 2 cents to her name. She's really not worth much, if anything, at all. No. No. Wrong response to a very important question. What is Joe worth? What is Sue worth? Don't give the financial statement to answer that question. Talking about one's 401k or their savings or their belongings is a financial report. That's not a worth report. We don't judge the quality of a person's life by how much they make or how much they own. That's a financial report. We judge the quality of life, of a person's life, really by only one standard, and that is by the spiritual riches that they have in Jesus Christ and how faithful they are to the Lord. That's a person's worth. We say, yes, Sue, in her case, no, she didn't have 2 pennies to her name. But she knew Jesus. And so even though she may have been worldly poor, she was heavenly rich. And she was worth more than all the other wealthy people in the world. The flip side could be true as well. One who has loads of money, who has everything this world has to offer, but doesn't know Jesus and doesn't serve and follow the living God, is worth how much at their funeral? Zero. Zero in terms of legacy, in terms of worth. We jokingly said, have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? You haven't, and you never will. You can't take it with you. We all die in the same condition with nothing. The only thing that matters on that day is how we serve God. Do we know Jesus? Have we come to love Him and serve Him as the first priority of our life? That's a worth question. So let's make sure that we keep that straight in our mind and in our heart when we think about our relationship to money. Secondly, something else to remember. Be more passionate for God than you are about worldly wealth. Be more passionate about God than you are about worldly wealth. Here's something to think about for a moment. Think about what a difference it would make if every Christian in the whole world devoted the same energy to the Lord for one day that they devote to money and possessions. Just for even 24 hours. What would that accomplish in our world? That would be a huge step forward, wouldn't it be? How do most people live? They take care of what's temporary while they neglect what's eternal. I heard a pastor by the name of Wayne Cordero once who gave a wonderful illustration. He said, think of this room and think about if I took a line starting on this at the east end and this line went out across this room, went out the west window and kept going all the way into space and ad infinitum. Kept going until you couldn't see that line anymore. That's a big, long line. Think of that. Now think if I took a pen, and on any place in that line, I took my pen and I made a little scratch mark on that line. Just a little scratch mark with a big line. Wayne Cordero said, that scratch mark represents the totality of our life, maybe 80, 90, 100 years, if lucky. What is one scratch mark compared to the rest of the length of that line, which is eternity? It's just a little bit. And yet, isn't it interesting that most people spend the majority of their life and their time and their energy worrying about, pursuing, defending the scratch rather than the rest of the line? That which is temporary versus that which is eternal. And what I want to say to us is that when we think about our lives, think about the things we own, we have to take care of it, we must make money, we must keep up all of the things that life requires. Yes, we have to do that. But don't lose sight of the larger picture of your life, the eternal perspective. Remember that one day all of this is going to pass away, and it will be sooner than any of us can possibly imagine. And then what will we have left? Only that for which we have pursued the Lord. And so we had to think about that. Give that some serious attention as we think about our relationship to what we own. And the third and final point is something I thought. Remember that money is a test of your spiritual condition. Money's a test of your spiritual condition. Hey, listen, if we can't handle a little paper without worshiping it, I mean, after all, isn't that what money is? It's a little paper, yes. Our whole world revolves around it, but after all, it is just a little piece of paper or a collection of pieces of paper. And if we can't handle a little piece of paper without worshiping it, how can God ever trust us with spiritual riches, which is worth a lot more than a little piece of paper? Here's the truth about every one of you, and myself included. God has bigger plans for us than just shuffling money around and accumulating toys and possessions and wealth. He has bigger plans. That's too small of a life for a Christian. God wants us, catch this, to change the world. He wants us to touch the lives of hurting and broken people. Jesus, when he left this world, left the world, in a sense, in our hands. He said, you go, therefore, into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Jesus isn't going to do that for us. He gave that to us to do. Do you want to talk about an assignment? That's a huge job. God's plans for our life are so unimaginably large that we almost can't even imagine it. Just shuffling money around and being worried about, I mean, it's important, but don't lose the bigger perspective. God has called us to advance the church, to touch the lives of people, to bring the gospel to the lost, to bring the light of Christ into this dark world. That's the big picture of your life. That's why you're here. Everything else is a means toward that end, and that's a big job. He gives us money and possessions to use to see if we can handle bigger and more important assignments. That's how he tests us. If we get sidelined and sidetracked with some green paper, which has no eternal value, he's not going to assign us with more important work, the work of the kingdom. That's what Jesus said in today's lesson. If I can't trust you with a little bit, who's going to trust you with more? So he's saying, figure this out. Get your mind right. Sort out your priorities of what's important so that you don't get tripped up and sidetracked from this huge assignment, this purpose that God has for every single one of us. I want to close with some things to keep in mind. Money will buy you a bed, but not sleep. It will buy you books, but not brains. It will buy you food, but not appetite. Finery, but not beauty. It will buy you a house, but not a home. And there is a difference. It will buy you medicine, but not health. Luxuries, but not culture. Amusements, but not happiness. Religion, you can even buy religion with money if you want it, but it can't buy you salvation. And it can buy you a passport to anywhere in this world, but not heaven. Only God can do those things. Without the Lord, everything else is meaningless. Jesus, in another place, said, "What good is it to gain the entire world and lose your soul?" So, brothers and sisters, how are you related to money today and your possessions? Where's your mind? What are you thinking? Where's Jesus in the equation of your life right now? As we leave today, let's remember and let Jesus' words sink deep into our hearts, wherever they may find it. It's Jesus who said, "You cannot serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or despise the one and serve the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So let's choose the Lord. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.